Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. Life Logistics here. We're here to solve all of your problems. Your queries, your wars, your worries, your miseries. So the mailbag has been bulging once again. So yeah. We'll try and get through as many as we can in the next half an hour or so. What have we got first of all? Here's a regular familiar topic. We've got lots of crow stuff, I should say. We'll get onto that a little bit later on. But here's a one from Max Balfour. And he says, settle an argument. He doesn't say, please settle an argument, or could you settle an argument?
No.
He commands us, settle an argument,
these
he says.
These people expect, they think that we just work for them.
Yeah, fucking hell. And he says, what's the ideal length for a nap? Well, he doesn't put a question mark at the end, so perhaps he's got problems in terms of punctuation and just grammar in general. He says, what's the ideal length for a nap? I say anything more than 30 minutes is just a cheap sleep. And we've had this before. I think we've covered this before.
I feel you've been very clear about this, Andy. Certainly to me. I mean, this is a question that I asked of you a long time ago. And I think you've been very clear on a number of occasions.
It's good to reiterate, though, yeah. I mean, for me, 20 to 25 minutes is what I would call a power nap. It recharges the batteries.
Yeah.
You don't go into what I believe is called the REM, the rapid eye movement stage, just before you go into a deep sleep. It's a light sleep. It gets you back where you need to be. What I do is I set the alarm on my phone for 25 minutes, and I allow myself 4 to 5 minutes to nod off, and then I get that 20-minute power nap, and then the alarm goes off. Bang! I'm awake again. Strip it back into whatever I was doing.
But there's
a bit of light DIY.
There's two variables there. One is, how confident are you that it's only going to take you 4 to 5 minutes to nod off, right? Because sometimes I can go out like a light, but sometimes I lie there for fucking ages, right? Thinking, come on, sleep,
yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
nap now, right? And it takes ages. Yeah. Turbo nap. And then another thing is, for this is very me, is that it takes me, I cannot finish a sleep of any sort of length. And just be up and out afterwards. It takes me so long to wake up.
Wow. Even a 20-minute-er.
Even a 20-minute-er, I'll think, right, I need to make a cup of tea now.
So you go deep straight away. Delaney goes deep. Delaney goes deep.
Yeah.
Every time.
If it's a Delaney sleep, it's bound to be deep.
It's going deep.
I mean, increasingly, I just cannot. It takes me fucking ages to like wake up in the morning. I can be up and out physically.
Yeah.
I will appear to be awake, but my mind takes ages. I've got a problem in that my 8-year-old son, he wakes up in the morning in the complete opposite state, whereby he wakes up like a man who has just done a massive Hollywood rail of iron filings, right? Is babbling, right, at 100 miles per hour, mostly about football, right? But like it'll come up and he'll go, Dad, you know it's only 3 days. Like this morning's topic was Pele Day. And I went, what the hell
is there Pele Day?
Yeah, there's a Pele Day. He knows all these dates.
Who came up with that then?
Exactly. And my daughter quite understandably said, why on earth would Pelé need a day when he's already got a birthday, right?
True.
And I thought, true. And Len went, well, as if it was really obvious, he went, well, that's the day that he scored his 1,000th goal for Santos.
Oh,
and
no,
I thought,
Len.
Oh, this sounds about right. I can't believe it. Well, Len's still young. He seems to know quite a lot about Pelé, but I don't think he's... I think he's still sort of taking it all as at face value.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't know about the lies.
He doesn't know that Pelé is the world's biggest bullshitter.
When you're Pelé, though, surely every day is fucking Pelé day, isn't it?
Hey, happy Pelé day.
I'm Pelé again.
Happy Pelé day. And every day he makes up a statistic that is relevant to that day. Today is the day that marks the time I scored a hat-trick of overhead kicks against a Mars 11 of aliens who came down and tried to conquer Earth, but I saw them off.
Fucking Pelé. I didn't know there was a Pelé day. Quickly, to get back to what you were saying there about the confidence of falling asleep within 45 minutes. It's not a hard and fast rule. If I find I'm 10 minutes into the allocated 25 minutes and I'm not falling asleep, I'll just reset the alarm. Because right. I'll find within 10 minutes, I'm drifting off.
Yeah.
If I'm not under within 10 minutes, I'm almost there. Right. I'll just set the alarm again, another 25 minutes, and I know I'll go.
Do you have any brain techniques to help you ease into sleep? Do you have your own Dawson version of counting sheep?
I just try and switch everything off.
Just try and clear your mind.
It's really hard to clear your mind, but I love when your thoughts begin to warp slightly.
Yeah, and then you sometimes notice it.
Dream state. And yeah, you notice it, yeah.
That's a weird thought.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why did that just happen?
Yeah, but then I get overexcited. I think, oh, here comes sleep.
Yeah.
And then I'm awake again.
And then you're
awake.
Exactly. I know that. You just described that very well. That is exactly what I experience quite a lot. I tend to think through football matches, but quite dull ones in quite... excessive right. boring detail. So even if it's a game and the ball goes off the pitch and a ball boy chases the ball, but he drops it and then the player's standing there waiting for it to be thrown back. All those boring bits.
Jesus Christ, I'm not enough here. Yeah.
I think them all out, and that usually does the job. Either that
that's
or
good.
Here's another one I've had since I was a kid. And I don't know why it works, but I picture loads of commuters' feet getting on and off trains.
Wow.
I don't know why, but if I sort of...
That harks back to when you were small and that was kind of all you could see when you were getting on off the trains yourself.
Yeah, loads of them.
Mm.
And, that seems to help. But anyway, any other techniques for getting to sleep, I suppose we're interested. Send them. They've got to be good, though.
We send them in and then we'll decide if we're interested.
Yeah. I've got an email from Luke Nichols, the title of which is Dock Off Bees.
Right.
He says, hi, cunts. I have a working from home problem for you. I have a desk set up in my bedroom to work from home with a window facing the back garden. Due to the heat at the moment, it's always nice to crack the window open. The problem is my garden is full of big fucking dock off bees. What are dock off bees, mate?
I don't know, I'd have to Google that.
They're the size of golf balls. Bullshit.
Fucking hell.
I know they mean no harm, but one of them got into the room and I completely lost it. I am now not... I wish he doesn't go into more detail about that. I want to know how he lost it. I am now torn between being cool and being safe. If I buy a fan, does that mean the cunts have won? Do they then own my back garden? Cheers, Platinum Cunter Luke. Wow, there's a lot to unpick here. First of all, what are dock off bees? Don't know. Andy's researching that as we speak. They do mean harm. A bee will definitely sting you, given half the chance. Even though it knows that it will die if it does so. It doesn't care.
Is important, isn't it?
I can understand your dilemma here and your anxiety about these big bees. If it was me, I wouldn't be able to focus on my work properly if I was forever thinking that a bee was coming in. So I would buy a fan. In fact, I would think about getting one of those Dyson fans, Andy.
What are them? What's good about them?
I don't know. Have you seen them?
No.
Well, they're very space age. You know Dyson, right?
Yeah.
And I know he's like a bit of a cunt and all that, but I do have a Dyson hand a vacuum cleaner, which I asked for a present right. 1 year for my birthday from my sister-in-law, who always gets me fucking good presents, right? Much to my brother's annoyance. Right. So he'll not acknowledge my birthday, my brother Cass. But his wife his wife will always go, ah, what would you like for your birthday? Right? Really well in advance. Like she's one of those people who's super considerate about birthdays. So I will always purposefully, because I know it's half his money, ask for something like a little bit of a piss take. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like most people ask me at my age, I go, oh, I don't know, fucking whatever, get me a pair of socks, I don't care. But when it's her, I go, I ask for something big. So, and I ask it, and I'm very definite as well. I don't say, oh, maybe. She goes to me, what would you like for your birthday? And this particular year, I said, I want a Dyson handheld vacuum cleaner, right? And she just went, all right. And then when I get it, which again, he knows nothing about, I will take a picture of it and send it to him, and I'll go, look at this. What do you think of this? And he'll go, yeah, so what? And I'll go, you fucking bought me that, cunt. And he'll go, what? How much did that cost? And then I'll look up how much it cost and tell him.
This all goes back to the Baileys, doesn't it? The bottle of Baileys.
Exactly. It does go back to that when he bought me that Baileys. Yeah. And another one like last year, do you know what I asked for? A luxury blanket.
Oh.
Sometimes I just like look around when she asks me, I want to give a really quick response. And I was like, she asked me when I was at her house and I was sat on the sofa and they had a really nice blanket on the sofa that was very soft to the touch. I don't know what material it was, mate, but it was like...
Velour.
Yeah, it was fucking soft and it felt expensive. And she went, what do you want? And I just quickly looked around thinking, look for something expensive. And I said, this blanket's nice. I wouldn't mind something like this.
One of them.
And she went, all right. And it got me a really expensive blanket.
I want one like this.
I know.
And better.
Anyway, so I've got that. But I would say word of warning about the Dyson handheld vacuum cleaner. Fucking hell. It looks good because it looks like something out of Buck Rogers, right?
Yeah.
It's quite powerful when you use it, and it's handy to have a handheld thing. But fuck me, right? You will get about 3 seconds suction out of it before you have to recharge the cunt. It's one of those. Like, you're just recharging it constantly.
It's all fur coat and no knickers, isn't it?
Exactly. You just go, you'll go, oh, look, here's someone spilled some sugar puffs on the floor, for example.
Yeah.
Right, that's a bad example, because you'd sweep them up with a dustpan and brush. But let's say I've been doing
some... Bernard Langer.
Say I've been doing some glass smashing indoors. I know that sounds crazy, but...
Wild.
Right. And after the major shards have been cleared up, there's some little dusty bits, right?
Yeah.
This would be it. Right, I'll just get the old Dyson out. Oh, it's run out of batteries. Charge it up. 2 hours later. Oh, it's charged again. Oh, it's run out again. You'd be there for fucking weeks. Anyway,
so that's not a recommendation.
I've seen these Dyson fans, and they don't have... They're silent, pretty much, because they don't have the actual twirly fan bit.
Oh, right, okay.
They're an upright stand-up bit of plastic, and it's like a circle, right? And when you switch it on, it just emits cold air, or warm air, I suppose.
It's almost like portable aircon.
Yeah, a lot of people rate those. So, anyway...
Well, I've got... You know, recently I bought some gym equipment for the house because I wasn't going to go out anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I got a fan as well because obviously when you're doing stuff
indoors,
you get... That's
great. Point a fan at your face while you're on the treadmill is a really good idea.
This fan cannot be beaten. It's from Screwfix.
Right.
It is the HF45B 18-inch industrial floor fan.
Screwfix.
It's got three speed settings.
Say it again because I'm Googling it.
HF-45B.
Yeah, I love the name. Yeah.
Industrial floor fan. Just put that and it'll come up straight away.
It's got a great name.
It's the kind you'll see on stage when you go to see a band. And
it looks nice. It looks nice too. I was expecting it to look ugly, but it actually looks quite cool in a retro industrial way.
Classic. Well, it is an industrial floor fan, isn't it?
And it's quite cheap.
$34.99, Sam. $34.99. Suitable for workplaces, shops, garages, and other commercial settings. It's got three speeds. If you put it on the highest speed, you could probably blow a toddler over with it. If right. you put it on setting one, is sufficient. Setting three is like a fucking wind tunnel.
Unreal.
It is incredible.
How much floor space does it take up?
That. Well, does it not say? It doesn't. It takes up quite a bit. Its width is, it doesn't say, it says depth 200 millimetres, 20 centimetres.
Oh, that's
all right. Doesn't take up that much space.
Listen to this, right? That's $34.99 on Screwfix, right? Mm. This Dyson one I was talking about is 339 quid. And it doesn't actually look as nice as your one. Your one, like, looks much cooler, I think. So fuck
the only
Dyson.
Difference will be that yours is noiseless. Whereas yeah. this one does make a bit of noise. But so fuck you, it's yeah, reassuring.
Sounds industrial, so it makes you
yeah,
feel...
Yeah, exactly.
Even though we are just men who podcast and write things for a living, it makes, us,
yeah.
it makes us feel as if we are real men working in an industrial environment.
With an industrial fan, yeah, men of industry.
Like our forefathers, yeah. you know, hearing the soundtrack to their daily life was the grind and whir of machinery.
Yeah. Mm. Even they didn't have fans, though, I don't think. They might have had some ceiling fans. But it was mostly about toil and sweat.
Other machines, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something in it. So how did we get to that? Why was that?
He's asked us what to do. What we're saying is buy a fan, get the fan Andy's just recommended.
Oh, it was the bees, wasn't it?
Let the bees win. Don't think of it as a victory for the bees. Think of it as you are part of nature's wonderful and complex ecosystem, right? You are just one part of that. There is no reason for you to think of yourself as superior or inferior to any of the other elements, right? We are all just cogs in one gigantic, beautiful wheel, right? Adapt to the situation with the bees. Let the bees go about their business. Close the window. Get a fucking £34.99 fan from Screwfix and go about your business. So while they're collecting their, what do you call it? What do they turn into honey? Pollen.
Pollen, isn't it? Yeah.
So let them
collect.
Them fucking go and collect the pollen while you do your work, whatever that is. I notice you haven't mentioned what your work is, but that's your business, I suppose.
I suppose it is. It would be good to be informed of that, so we can make more of an informed decision. Duck
more
off
of
bees
judgment.
Don't seem to exist. I think he's just trying to say fuck off bees, right, without saying fuck.
Oh, fuck off bees, yeah.
But I've got bees. I've got bees outside my back door, just above the back door. In the brickwork, there's a circular hole. And 2 years ago, we had bees who were using it as a... did they call it a hive?
They were using it as a youth club.
Basically a youth club, yeah. And there was loads of them in there. I don't know what they were doing in there, but they were going in and out all fucking day long.
Never mind what we're doing in there. It's bee business.
Don't you try having a look either, or I'll sting your fucking eye off.
This is fucking private bee business, right? You stick to your human business, we'll stick to our fucking bee business. And that way we can all get along just fine.
Jalapeño.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
And that's the point I was going to make. They never came in the house. One or two over the whole of the 2 months where they were using it came in where they got a bit lost. Because sometimes you see them coming in and they're really fat and they're drowsy because they're carrying so much
honey. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Honey in their guts.
They got so much honey in their guts that they can't, their tracking system's fucked and they can't find the hole. And one of them was
they're
trying to get into the air brick that was below it. Pissed up on honey. Yeah. But I looked it up and apparently they don't come back the year after. And sure enough, they didn't. This year, year three, they're back again.
Weird.
With a vengeance.
Fucking hell. I went up
and it's
in,
like,
I went up into
it's
an,
like,
yeah.
It's like an international airport. You sit in the garden and you watch them coming in and going out constantly. Filling it up with honey. And when they're gone, when they're done, sort of late summer, I'm just going to get a paintbrush and stick the non-brush end in and just scoop out all the honey and eat it off the end.
Ah, lovely. Like a hungry bear. And then the joke will be on them. I'm having that for free, cunts.
Yeah, thanks, cunts. See you in 2 years.
Because they usually earn commission from the honey companies, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's a tender system, isn't it?
But if you get it straight from the source, that's it. You're cutting all of them out.
Yeah. I think the honey company come along end of the summer and they'll do what I'm going to do. They've got like a some kind of metal device.
A honey scraper. Yeah.
And chuck it in the back of the honey van.
But another way they do it, which is actually really bad, industrial honey farming. I don't know. I saw a Netflix documentary about industrial honey farming and it put me off honey for life. What they do is they catch all of the fattened up bees and they sedate them like using a gas and then they literally just cut all of them open in a like a bee abattoir and they just remove the honey directly from their gut, from their bee guts.
They just squirt it out, can't they?
They squirt it directly into the squeezy bottle that you get your honey in.
Yeah.
Or jar, but I would never get a jar of honey.
I assume they'd just squeeze it straight out of their arseholes, but I suppose you'll get, like, bee shit mixed in as well then.
Yeah, and, well, it's just quicker to cut them open. It's more humane to squeeze it out of their arseholes because then they can still live. But you can get more out more quickly if you just split open their bee guts and get it out like that. And I saw that, and it was actually in Spain, these huge fucking industrial honey factories in Spain. And I just thought, no, I'm not eating fucking honey anymore.
I think they make marmalade out of it, don't they?
Yeah,
as well.
They do, yeah.
Because marmalade's just honey and oranges,
isn't
it?
It's just oranges, and of course, that's where they make all the oranges as well out in Spain.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's disgusting. But that's the way other cultures treat their bees.
So you are now the honey equivalent of a vegetarian, almost, because you've been appalled by what you've seen.
Well, you know real vegans don't eat honey. That's actually true. Yeah, unlike all the other stuff I've just said, they're fucking really judgy about honey. Because I was speaking to an old mate of mine the other day, and he told me, I hadn't seen him for years, and he was revealing, we were having an update, and I was like, right, tell me everything you've done since I last saw you 18 years ago. Quickly, I haven't got much time. Tell me about your personal...
Bullet points.
Tell me about your personal nutrition. How has it changed since the 90s? And he said, I'm a vegan. And I went, are you quite serious?
I'm a vegan.
He went, no, I eat honey. And he went, and he lives in Brighton, your favourite place, right? Yeah. And that's like the capital of veganism. You know, everyone's a fucking vegan down there.
Right, yeah.
And he's very badly judged for being someone who claims to be vegan but still eats honey.
Oh, right. Has he been shunned?
Yeah, you're hard.
By the vegan community.
Your hardcore ones are like, you eat fucking honey, you murderous, bee-killing cunt.
Yeah. It's like that kid who was on The Simpsons who Lisa Simpson had a crush on, and he was a level 5 vegan. He doesn't eat anything that casts a shadow.
Wonderful.
So, that's bees taken care of then, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? Was there anything else we need to add to that? But yeah, my bees never come in. So you can coexist quite happily with the bees. And if a bee comes in your room, all you got to do is get a glass and, you know, something like an envelope and catch it against the window and, you know, send it back out again.
You're talking... It's the same
challenge.
That's the same way you deal with ghosts, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to be a glass, though, not a colander.
You can catch a ghost.
You can get out through a colander.
Catch a ghost in a glass quite easily.
You can. We've got Mike Goodall here. He says, logistical analysis required, please. Excellent use of the word please there. I have on occasion given my 8-year-old boy Biscoffs at breakfast time when he's had his honey on toast. Honey again. Whoa. Honey on toast. What kind of a start of the day is that? Fucking hell.
Honey on toast.
That's a bit... honey on toast.
That's quite a common breakfast, mate.
Is it?
Yeah.
Marmalade on toast, I'd say, yeah.
No.
Oh, you see, I'm working class from the north.
Oh.
We never had honey on toast.
Oh, mate, down here, it's just like very standard. I mean, when I was you know, young, my mum would just drip it from a spoon directly into my mouth.
Just squeeze it out of a bee's arse straight onto your toast.
We were swimming in the shit in the south in the 80s. Oh, my God. In the 80s boom time. Yeah, we were swimming in it. We'd bathe in the stuff.
Yuppies in their honey.
No, we do. So we do have. I give breakfast honey to my children. Not every
breakfast
day.
Honey.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Different world down here, mate.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I think that's what makes this podcast work.
Yeah.
That's at the heart of it.
It is. Yeah.
When he's had his honey on toast and he's still hungry, it's not very filling then. He says, would you endorse Biscoff as an any time of day type bridging snack?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it strictly a mid-morning stroke afternoon thing? It's got to be any time, really. Whenever you feel like a Biscoff, have a Biscoff.
Yeah, but don't get into the habit of having them every day. Like my mum, a while ago, about a year ago or something, she's always obsessing over her weight. She always has done. And she's always telling me about a new crackpot diet that she's on, you know. And I just like, Mum, I don't care. Stop talking about it. And then...
Is this, do you think, to win the heart of the member of the searchers? Who she...
No, because he's a homosexual anyway. So
he is, but do you not think she can turn him? He
did.
Down?
Did I tell you about, like, the thing that I think one of the reasons that she thinks, yes, she can, even though she's married, right? She doesn't really care about her husband, right? But she...
Have they not got a list? I
hate things like that. Yeah. Well, imagine if you did that, and then one of the people you mentioned on the list was someone who you actually knew personally. Yeah. It'd be disgusting, wouldn't it? Anyway,
number one, down the off license. Number two, her that works in Blockbuster.
Number two, your sister.
Your mum.
Yeah, you know, not that I find your mum attractive. It's just more like it'd be a great story, wouldn't it, to tell the lads. No, but she told me that, oh, in the morning, she went, I always, you know, I get myself a cup of tea and I go back to bed and I just have, you know, before breakfast or anything, I have my tea and my biscuit. And I went, a fucking biscuit before breakfast in bed every day? She was like, yeah. She goes, oh, no, nothing fancy, just a rich tea, as if that doesn't count as a biscuit. And I'm like,
yeah,
Mum. You'll get fucking diabetes. I mean, you can't be eating a biscuit every fucking day in bed.
You
as
can't
your
get
start
diabetes
snack.
From a rich tea, Sam. Fucking hell, man.
If you're eating a fucking sugary biscuit every day as part of your routine in bed before you do anything else, that is indicative of a bad diet that could lead to trouble, especially if you're an old woman like she is. And so I lectured her on it like a complete wanker, and now she claims she doesn't do it anymore, but I can tell she just says that because she's just like, oh, fucking Sam will start lecturing me again, the dickhead, about my fucking biscuits.
I guess. I mean, my granddad used to do that. He'd have a cup of tea and a ginger snap first thing in the morning as soon as he got out of bed, before he had any kind of regular breakfast.
Yeah.
And a ginger snap, you know, there's quite a bit of sugar in them.
They're very similar to Biscoffs, aren't they? Ginger snaps.
Yeah. And he lived long. He lasted till he was, what was he? About 74.
That's not long, mate. Then, that's the biscuit the ginger snaps did for him.
And then he went like a light from a heart attack. Bang! Gone.
Bang. Done. So, undone by my fucking ginger snaps. I want to tell you before I die. I wouldn't change a fucking thing. I've had a ginger snap every morning of my adult life, right? And yeah, fine, that might be why I'm dying now, right? But if I have a time again, I wouldn't change a thing. Sure, I could have lived without fucking ginger snaps and had another extra 5 years in a fucking home, right? Shitting through a tube. But what kind of a life would that have been? I'd happily go out early with a fucking belly full of ginger snaps.
Yeah, I'd leave you all to pick up the mess of my financial dealings.
the amount of dough I fucking spunked on ginger snaps over the years is not worth thinking about. Only you are going to have to think about it.
You're going to have to remortgage your fucking arsehole to deal with this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a Biscoff's just a Farley's Rusk, I think. And it can be used to augment any kind of meal at any time of the day. I've just bought the ones that's got the Belgian chocolate on.
Oh yeah,
I bought them yesterday. Where I haven't
from?
Tried them yet.
Where from?
Sainsbury's.
Okay, I've got to get my good wife to look into this more about the Biscoffs available in Sainsbury's, because she's claiming she hasn't seen this stuff. I'm starting to mistrust her. Anyway,
well, it's online, isn't it? Do you not do the online shop and get it delivered? Have a look.
Yeah, she does. That's what I'm saying.
The website.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you have a look then.
Nah,
journalist.
That's her job.
Oh
no, it no. There we go. No, I don't want it to sound like this is a sexist setup.
It does.
We have a division of labour, right?
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, for instance, who fucking does the kitchen floor every day, right? And yeah, and the muggins. Surfaces, right? And does all the living room every morning, plumping cushions and so forth, right?
Do you?
Yeah.
Right.
Muggins here, right? She, meanwhile, is taking care of the Sainsbury's shop. So,
well, it wouldn't hurt you just to have a look and email her a link.
I will have a look.
FYI.
Yeah. FYI. Yeah,
I'll send her a link.
Yeah, because the thing that I'm really after is the Biscoff Kit Kats.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was looking for. That's what I went looking for. They didn't have them.
Okay. No. Talking of my good wife, who you may or may not know, is half Hungarian. Mm-hmm. We've got an email here that caught my eye called Hungarian Crows Life Logistics from Alex.
Brilliant. All bases covered there, I think.
Good morning, Nifty and Just Andy. My Hungarian girlfriend, moved in just before lockdown, equals poor logistics, repeatedly tells the story of her Hungarian grandfather befriending crows and keeping them as pets, a skill he learned as a prisoner of war in Russia during World War II. Amazing. She tells stories of her childhood where crows would come to family parties, land on people's heads, follow them to shops and generally be centre of attention. All right, cunts. Sorry, we're late.
Does he mention if the grandfather had an industrial fan while he was a prisoner of war?
I don't know. He probably trained the crows to just flap their wings at him like fans, crow fans.
Yeah.
She also tells the story of one particular crow that stole sockets from her dad's socket set while he was fixing the car. The sockets were only discovered when the gutters blocked during a storm and a full set of sockets were found blocking the downpipe.
I'm having these. I'm going to put them in your fucking... down your downpipe.
I'll store them down there for a rainy fucking
day. I can't fit
them
in my guts, but I'll put them down the downpipe for later on.
They're a bit tough, these sockets. I thought they'd be delicious, but they're a bit chewy. I'll fucking store them down there instead. I can bullshit on these stories, but should I call the girlfriend out? Oh, I call bullshit on these stories, she says. But Ooh. Should I call the girlfriend out on this? Nifty, is this a Hungarian thing? I know you have contacts. Should I warn her that these crows were likely communists and or East German spies? Are they likely to still be spying on us? She also claims her granddad had a pet wolf during the war.
just as an afterthought there.
Yeah.
He also had a pet wolf.
Basically, he's written, keep it cunty, Alex, from somewhere near Reading. I don't want to give my exact location away, just in case the girlfriend's English improves and she starts listening to Top Flight Time Machine and hears this. Very unlikely. But, right, all I can do is give you my Hungarian insights.
Yeah.
First of all, it's unlike Hungarians don't tend to bullshit. They're right. very... They tend to be quite straightforward people.
Honest people, yeah.
Yeah, sort of like they don't dilly-dally with the silliness of bullshit just for self-entertainment. They're very pragmatic people. So, so that's one thing. Another thing is that they're fucking strange, right? Don't forget, in Hungary, right, they don't have... Do you know what they tell kids to deliver the fucking presents? I've said this before when we were talking about Krampus. They reckon they tell kids that the baby Jesus delivers all the presents on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And that there's this little
baby.
There's a fucking baby that somehow...
Flying baby.
I don't know how it gets about, right, fucking dragging itself along the streets of Budapest, dumping fucking toys on kids' doorsteps. Anyway, it's a. I tell you what, right? It's a fucking tremendously strange place. But so the thing about having crow family or a pet wolf is all totally believable.
Yeah.
Like 100%, that is the sort of shit that goes down in Hungary. Yeah. Crows turning up to family parties, yeah, that would just be like. I mean, I've been to plenty of family do's in fucking Hungary, and if a load of crows suddenly arrived and just fucking landed and started making themselves at home, and no one back in the island just said, "Oh, these are our crow relatives," I would not. Yeah. I'm seasoned enough in dealing with Hungarians that I would just think, yeah, normal. They've just
good.
Like when I first was going there, when I was a young man, I'd have been like going to my wife, my girlfriend, "What the fuck's this? Why are these fucking crows doing it? This is fucking madness." And she'd have been
at the airport.
She'd be going, No, I know it seems weird, but like it's good. Don't worry about it. This always happens. Whereas now, I've been going there 20 years. I'm just like, yeah, bunch of crows, normal. Listen, mate. Hungary's so strange that if those crows all of a sudden just transformed in a puff of smoke into humans and began speaking to us in Hungarian accents, I'd be like, yeah, normal.
Yeah.
Like, even magical stuff goes on there that doesn't surprise me anymore. So what I would say is I don't think it's bullshit. Were they communist or East German spies? You don't need to warn her about that. They are on alert for I don't know about the East Germans, but they're on alert for communist spies at all times. So they don't, they'd be all over that. They're not naive people, the Hungarians. I would say, mate, as far-fetched as it sounds, I've had much more dealings with Hungarians than you have, and this all is totally, I would say, checks out.
I mean, I would say to Alex, this relationship, as you've mentioned, is in its infancy. Strap in, mate, because it's going to get a lot wilder.
It will get fucking madder than that. Much madder.
All right, good stuff. That's Life Logistics for this week. Get your queries and shit in for next week. Email address is contact@tftimemachine.com. Yep. Or you can tweet them to us using the Life Logistics hashtag. You must use the hashtag or we'll not see them.
Yeah.
Or we'll forget to check the hashtag and ignore them like we have done this week. That's it. Keep it cunty, et cetera, et cetera.
TTFN, dickheads.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.